Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, if you needed any more incentive to come to Milwaukee for the weekend after last hour's program on the film festival, this will do it. Get your hotel room, call your friends and tell them you're going to be in town because there's a wonderful event that's going to take place over the weekend. It's many places in this city are going to throw their doors open, places that just haven't been open to the public. It's Doors Open Milwaukee is the name of it, and there will be building tours of many, many buildings in downtown Milwaukee. You'll have a chance to see how Milorganite is made. You can look at some places that have museums that I didn't even know existed, churches. There's a lot of great history in the city of Milwaukee. Many of these buildings are very, very old. And there will be tours, in-depth tours, of at least two dozen walking tours that will take you into Milwaukee's history and architecture. It's going to be a really great idea. And all of it is taking place because of George Wagner. Don't you love this when somebody gets a great idea and then they decide, well, Milwaukee ought to do this. And so he went to historic Milwaukee and they said, sure, George, why don't you do it? And so he did. George Wagner is a longtime librarian in the city of Milwaukee. He was at Central Library for 25 years and retired just a little while ago. So he approached Milwaukee after visiting Toronto and Denver, who had Doors Open programs, and said, why don't we do it here? And they said, fine. And so here it is. It's happened. And George is with us in our Milwaukee studios. Hello, George.
Morning, Kathleen.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And John Gerda is here as well. No stranger to Wisconsin public radio audiences. He is a Milwaukee historian who has been writing fascinating books and done documentaries about Milwaukee since 1972. He's written tons of books, histories of Milwaukee area neighborhoods, churches, and industries. The Making of Milwaukee, you may recall, which was, how long ago, John? Not that long ago, was it?
Back in 06 is when the TV show came out.
And we're TV show?
Third edition of the book.
Yeah, it's wonderful. He's also a lecturer, tour guide, local history columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're delighted to have both of our guests here with us to talk about this event. And we'll welcome phone calls, too. You may have special places you like to go. You may want to know about the history of a certain building in Milwaukee or need more information about Doors Open. So call us. Here's our number, 800-486-8655. And our email is talk@wpr.org. Why don't we start with how this got started? I do. I said, but it is true. Somebody gets an idea and then you did it.
Well, about 5 years ago, my wife and I were in Toronto, which is a great city to visit, and came across a book that had been written by a former mayor, a guy by the name of John Sowell, called Doors Open Toronto, and started looking at it, found out that they had been having this event for about 6 years already, and gee whiz, this sounds very fascinating. I'd like to come back to Toronto and check this out maybe next year. As it turned out, I couldn't go at that particular time, but I did make it out to Denver then the following year. And Denver is one of the few American cities that have it, Denver and New York. A couple of smaller cities like Lowell, Massachusetts also do it. But Denver's been doing it for about the last 8 years now. I went to Denver. I flew out there specifically to attend it, met with some of the folks that had organized it originally. Had a great time, you know, going into old historic buildings as well as some new ones, taking some in-depth tours. And the great thing about this in Denver, in Toronto, New York, and now Milwaukee is that the entire event is totally free. So whether it's the 95 buildings that we have on tour here in Milwaukee that people can, it's basically a self-guided kind of an operation where you don't have to have tickets for those buildings. You just show up on your own itinerary.
And free is a word to warm a Milwaukeean's heart.
Sure warms mine, I'll tell
you. And there's free food in some places, too. That's even
yes,
better.
That's right. Free food at some places, too. But at any rate, Denver was, I came back from Denver thinking, you know, Milwaukee has a better store of old buildings than Denver does. And I thought we could do that here. And so I approached Historic Milwaukee Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization that's been around for 35 years, working on issues of historic preservation and oftentimes giving people special access to buildings that they normally don't get into, like we have a spring tour every year called Spaces and Traces that concentrates mostly on homes in different historic neighborhoods in Milwaukee. But the concept behind Doors Open is not just to get into nice historic homes, but to actually take a better look at the entire built environment of a lot of public buildings. There's a lot of buildings that people go into sometimes, like, for instance, the Bradley Center. You know, they'll go down there to watch the Bucks or Marquette play. And yet not very many people have gotten into the locker rooms of those buildings or into the suites. Other places like Central Library, which
beautiful
is a great
building.
1898
beautiful.
Building that does give some tours, but a lot of people don't know about it, and a lot of people haven't been in it since it was wonderfully restored a decade ago. And they're going to be giving some interesting tours of places that people usually wouldn't be able to get into, sorry, inside the dome of the rotunda or down into the book tiers in the basements of the library to see the million of books and magazines that are kept down there. So the idea then is to try to open up places to people that they normally wouldn't see, places that they might go into part of the building but not see other ones, and to welcome them into all these different spaces that really help make up the whole fabric of the city.
And, John, I was looking at the list of all of these places and was struck by how many buildings are really 100 years old in this city, remarkable structures, and how many places had little museums that I knew nothing about. And I've lived here for 36 years. Shame on me, but I needed an event like this to see the city. There are lots of treasures in this city.
There are places on the tour I haven't seen. You know, yeah, some of those are they have not been open to the public. Kind of the wonderful thing about Doors Open is that there has been, I guess you'd describe the public buildings from City Hall to the courthouse to County Historical Society as sort of a light buffet of things that are open. And Doors Open for 2 days turns this into kind of a cruise ship smorgasbord, where you have just this incredible array of buildings that are open to all of us. And I think you're right. People who come from elsewhere to Milwaukee look at the downtown area and our neighborhoods as well and say, boy, I wish we had as much of this preserved as you do. Mm-hmm. And other places, you know, Chicago, for instance, the Loop's got great architecture, but a lot of that has been probably on one lot. You might be on your seventh or eighth building. In Milwaukee's case, whether it was a matter of official policy or perhaps benign neglect, lack of development pressure in some areas, we have more of the historic fabric of the past intact here. The areas, say, east of the Milwaukee River along Jefferson Street, Broadway, wonderful old buildings like the Mitchell and Mackey on Michigan there that some preservationists would like to kind of encase in amber because they are sort of world-class examples of their particular style. City Hall itself, there's no City Hall like ours anywhere in the entire world, and is kind of I've described it as a deep bow to our Germanic ethnic traditions. And this Doors Open gives us a chance to climb up into the bell tower. Mm-hmm. So it's not just kind of getting into that rotunda.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. And what about, you hear a lot about Mill Organite, but do you ever get a chance to see the Mill Organite production process, George?
Well, that's right. This is, you know, we're not only interested in taking a look at buildings of special historic or architectural worth, although the Jones Island Water Treatment Plant, which is where Mill Organite is actually created, is actually on a National Historic Engineering Building landmark. From part of the building was erected in 1927. And Milwaukee has a long history of good public health services dating back to the early part of the 20th century, especially after the local socialists came into power in Milwaukee. And helped make that become a reality. And one of the most important things, of course, for cities is to have a clean water supply. Of course, we did experience the cryptosporidium outbreak in the 90s, but right now I think Milwaukee water is rated as one of the best in the world. And we have an opportunity in the Jones Island plant during Doors Open for people to go in and see how this byproduct of human waste is actually is actually made and then can be used as fertilizer.
Yeah, we were pioneers in the process of activated sludge. We didn't have passive sludge. We had activated sludge. And they make a point when you're down there, it's not the waste, it's the bugs that eat the waste. You know, that's what is dried and becomes malorganite. So it's
so you need
a little
wear,
more approachable.
You can't wear sandals. You got to wear pants, I read somewhere.
For that particular one.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a fascinating tour because we don't go to places like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little unusual. And we were trying to find some places that were like that. Another one that people might be interested in is the Milwaukee County Transit System garage facility.
Yes.
Which is going to let people come in and see the innards of buses and also see the giant spray operations in which they spray buses and paint them and find out how things like brakes and engines and things like that are repaired. So this is a nice opportunity there. Other things that haven't been opened in memory at all, I was talking to somebody who works for the City of Milwaukee Buildings and Bridges, and he said that he couldn't remember an event that had, like, the Milwaukee Bridge Houses open. So we have three bridge houses open in downtown area, right close to City Hall on the Milwaukee River, for people to come in and take a little tour. Hmm.
And better-known icons like the U.S. Bank Center, which a lot of us still refer to as First WIS. I mean, that has been closed. The observation deck on the 41st floor has been closed for, what, 20 years? And I need to update some slides from slideshows I've done because I have not been able to get up there, so I'll be up there with my camera. So what's 11 to 5, George, Saturday and Sunday?
11 to 5 both days, yeah.
I'll be taking that elevator ride.
All right, good for you. The oldest building is on the Marquette campus, the chapel?
Yes, St. Joan of Arc Chapel.
Not indigenous.
Not a native to Milwaukee, that's right. It was moved here in the 1960s. It was a chapel that had fallen from the 15th century in France, near Lyon, and it had fallen into disrepair, and it was kind of rediscovered among the weeds sometime after World War I, at which time, shortly after that, it was moved and reassembled to an estate on Long Island, and a wealthy person's estate, and renamed when it came to Milwaukee in 1964, the Joan of Arc Chapel, and put on the Milwaukee campus. But if people haven't been there, it's a charming little building, and it is the oldest building in Milwaukee, although, as John said, it's not native to here.
Right. It's worth going to. What about this? Am I off base, or is there some truth to a lot of the city really flourishing about 100 years ago? A lot of these gorgeous buildings were built a long time ago and are still with us. Was there a house? What was going on in the city?
The turn of the 20th century, 1890, 1910, there's a lot of the buildings on the tour from those couple decades. And that's a period where you had rapid industrialization going on from the 1870s and forward. You had dramatic population gains. So Milwaukee was kind of, like many Midwestern cities, was on a roll at that particular point in time, up into the 1920s, you know, when that was obviously after the 20s, you had the Depression that put a stop to that kind of dramatic growth. But, you know, during that time of just economic boom, you have commercial buildings, residential buildings as well, and public buildings that kind of express that civic self-confidence. The fact that back in 1895, Milwaukee could build a city hall that was, for a time, among the tallest buildings in the entire country was a statement in many ways of arrival. We are among the nation's top cities, and the building was designed very much to kind of make that aspirational claim.
Hmm. We're still trying to make that claim in some ways, aren't we?
We are.
Well, we have. We're kind of neglected in some ways. It's always troubling to me because the people I know, myself included, who have lived here really embrace this city, and we just never want to leave. I thought I was on my way to San Francisco, you know, years ago, and here I am, and the children and our family love this city and I think want to spend their lives here. There's something that draws you here once you're here. There's a lot that draws you here, and yet people don't look at us and say, mm-hmm. I want to be there.
Well, I think Milwaukee is a great place to live for a lot of reasons, but I think that One of them is because it does still have that kind of small hometown right. atmosphere in many ways. It's a very manageable city. And yet it has enough amenities that large cities have that attract people who are interested in kind of the newer wave of whatever is going on. So, I mean, I think that we have that going for us. And I think that Doors Open is a nice opportunity for people to see some of the old and the new together.
Mm-hmm. I think if you want to talk about the reasons for some of the, you know, the fact that we don't have as large a reputation as we might, you could write a book about the relationship between Milwaukee and Chicago. I mean, the fact that we are 90 miles away from what was for decades America's second largest city, you know, has tended to have an impact on national perceptions. And I think someone put it well. He said, Chicago is a great town to live 90 miles away from. So you can go down there and kind of take advantage.
Be careful, Kathleen's from Chicago.
But I live here, right?
She's Milwaukeean.
Yeah. When you grew up and now. Got to know better.
Yes, yeah,
what about the library? Do you have a lot of historical information? I know you worked there for a long time at Central Library and worked in rooms that have Milwaukee history. Mm-hmm. Is there a big collection there?
Oh, yeah, a huge collection at Milwaukee Public Library. Much of the historical collection is kept in the humanities department. And so everything from great old maps and atlases to wonderful genealogy kinds of collections to city directories and old telephone books, old photographs, special Great Lakes Marine collection, special railroad Milwaukee Road collection. Lots of things that visitors can become acquainted with over this weekend and other times, obviously, too.
And George was a humanities librarian and knew that collection cold. And without that collection, I'd be doing something else. The public libraries and the county historical societies. You know, without those two, we would not have the tools, the information to get back into the past.
Right. Got to have them. You want to join our conversation? You're very welcome to do so. We're talking about Doors Open Milwaukee, which is taking place this weekend in Milwaukee. It's free. It's Saturday and Sunday, September 24th and 25th, and there are all kinds of buildings, new buildings, old buildings, churches, galleries, places where you see Milorganite production. It's just a wide variety of Milwaukee in places that haven't opened their doors frequently, so you'll have a chance to see a lot. Over 90 buildings and sites. And there will be in-depth tours involved in this. And some places, we must remind you, as John mentioned, are going to have some snacks. So that's always a good thing. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. Our email address, if you'd like to use that, is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. George Wagner, program manager of Doors Open Milwaukee, long time until retirement, just recently a librarian at Milwaukee Central Library, and John Gerda, Milwaukee historian, author of The Making of Milwaukee, are our guests. Do you need tickets for this, George? Do you get them? How do you do that?
You don't need tickets to get into the 95 buildings that we have open. People can start their tour anywhere they want, and they can find out about it ahead of time by going to our website at doorsopenmilwaukee.org or by picking up an event guide in the Shepherd Express that just came out yesterday. Event guides will also be available at all the different venues, so if you don't have an event guide yet or you haven't been able to print it off the web, you can go to any of our buildings and get an event guide there to continue the tour. Most buildings, just about all of them, will have a large 5x4-foot banner outside their entrance that invites you in. So you'll know by finding that banner that that's one of the buildings that is open for Doors Open.
And what about the tours? Some are more extensive than others, aren't they?
It's true. Some buildings are really going the extra mile, like we talked about the Jones Island treatment plant, for instance, Northwestern Mutual, which rarely opens their doors to the public, which is one of the largest life insurance companies in the United States.
The largest.
The largest. Okay, thanks.
That's why we got you here, John.
Done their history twice.
Or even something like the Cudahy Tower apartments and condos are all going to be giving fairly extensive tours of their locations. Other places like a newly renovated building called the Renaissance Building on the corner of Water in Buffalo in Milwaukee, which started as an office building for a company in around 1900, has completely remodeled their interior lobby area, and it's an absolutely wonderful space. Inside, people will be invited to come in and basically look around. A little self-guided tour might only take 10 minutes in there, and then you're on your way to another building. Mm-hmm. These are all free. They're non-ticketed, as opposed to free but ticketed in-depth tours. It's a little confusing because some of the buildings are giving rather extensive tours by themselves anyway. But then we have this other set of tours that are called in-depth tours. And, for instance, John is going to be giving a tour. And he's going to be giving one of about two dozen of these tours people will have to come to City Hall the morning of the tour to pick up their tickets. And tickets will become available as of 9 o'clock on both days.
John, your tour is at City Hall, John?
No, I'm doing Yankee Hill on Saturday morning at 11. So it's the area on the northeast side of downtown that was where the frontier elite lived and has one of the most gorgeous collection of churches probably in the country.
Mm. And there are, I guess it would be natural, there are a lot of churches on this list.
Sure.
There are. I think we have a dozen churches on it. And they go from everywhere from the sublime, like St. John's Cathedral or the Cathedral of All Saints, to a much smaller venue like St. George Melkite Greek Catholic Church, which was started in the early part of the 20th century by the Lebanese and Syrian Catholics that were in Milwaukee.
Mm. St. Ben's is on it, the first black Catholic church.
St. Ben's was the first black Catholic church in Milwaukee, and over the years has, in their school, they educated over 2,000 children. And today they're mostly known for the work that they do with homeless. They have a very successful meal program that they serve 600 or 700 meals a night, 6 days a week. They've also done a nice renovation of the interior of their church. But we also wanted to let people know about what their mission is and how important it is to support organizations like this.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls. Mike in South Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I will only be able to go to this on Sunday, and I would like to know if they could suggest the top five sites to see following criteria. Aesthetically interesting, architecturally interesting, and generally inaccessible to the public, so other than churches, things that I would only have one crack of seeing.
Okay, well, let me give it a shot here and see if I can name a couple things that I think you might like. The City Lights building, which is basically the new home of Zimmerman Architects and Harwood Engineering, it's in the Menominee River Valley. It's just a little west of downtown, about a mile west of the core. At any rate, this is an old Milwaukee a light and gas company building where they actually converted coal into gas. It's an old gas works. This building has been completely remodeled on the inside, and it's really a wonderful, brilliant new space. Another one that you might want to come to that is usually not open for viewing would be something like, and again, it's another kind of like a manufacturing site, a Brass Light Gallery, which is on 10th and St. Paul, are opening some of their back spaces for people to come in and see how different items down there are created and manufactured.
Two more I'd include certainly would be the Mitchell Building on Michigan and Water Street, which is just spectacular, and Northwestern Mutual, which you walk in there and it is another world. And that's something that is not open unless you're a rep or a customer or an employee there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. So lots of buildings. Another one that people have wondered about for a long time that usually is not open to the public is the Humphrey Scottish Rite Masonic Center on Van Buren. And this is such an interesting building because it's actually a building within a building. They did a complete renovation of it. It started out as a Presbyterian church and subsequently was made into this Masonic Center. And, of course, people always have questions about what are Masons, what are they doing, and so you can find out about the Masons while you explore some interesting architecture there.
Yeah. That began as Plymouth Congregational, which is still in business.
Oh, it's not Presbyterian, thanks.
Up there right. On the east side.
Oh, really? It became, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a beautiful place inside,
sure is.
Too. It's beautiful. How's that, Mike? Mike's all right. All right, Mike's all
happy.
Right with that. He's a
been
happy
writing.
Guy. Yeah, right. Matt in Milwaukee, without a doubt, the most beautiful industrial building I've ever seen is the Milwaukee Water Works Linwood Treatment Facility. It's a gem few Milwaukeeans ever get to tour. Try to get this building on future tours, please.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely. One of the things we should mention is our first year, we're starting pretty much in the downtown area. So we don't have a lot that's too far from downtown. The Linwood plant, like the writer suggests, is definitely one of the highlight buildings that we would love to have in the future.
Yeah. This must have been one project to put this together, to deal with all of these people and who's going to keep the doors open and who's doing the tours. And
I asked George how he was sleeping.
Really? This is a mammoth thing, isn't it?
Sure is.
It's a pretty big project. And
yeah.
But
we've had a lot of, I've had a lot of help along the way. Staff at Historic Milwaukee has been, you know, working on it with me. I'm not alone in this, as well as a number of volunteers who have really stepped up to the plate.
What did you think, though, when you went in and said, why don't we do this in Milwaukee? And they said, fine, George, go ahead and do it. Did you pause?
Well, yeah, I kind of thought that might be the answer.
You were
of course, aware. You know, you suggest something like this. I mean, it's Historic Milwaukee is a great organization, but it has limited means.
Right.
And so it did mean going out and trying to find some places that would help support us. And we have been fairly successful in getting mm-hmm. some grants and mm-hmm. some monies from different organizations. One of the first ones was Wisconsin Humanities Council, which was, you know, important to me because, you know, it's more than just going in a building and looking around. It's really hopefully going to be a little bit on the educational side for a lot of folks to give them a better sense of the whole built environment and the history that was created around it. And so the Humanities Council was helpful in helping us get a grant that is going to be funding 10 historians and architects who will be giving some of those in-depth tours during the event.
Great. Mark in Milwaukee. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning. First of all, thank you for the great show. And thank you in particular to John for a career of preservation in Milwaukee. I apologize, I don't know your other guest, but
George Wagner.
Specifically, my question is whether the I'm a big fan of the electric railway system in Milwaukee. I'm wondering if the public service building might be open on Saturday.
It is not going to be open, unfortunately. We did try to get that building open, and for different reasons, they're not opening. Hopefully, and this is kind of interesting, I spoke with, when I was out in Denver, I spoke with the person who organized their first event, and she said, you know, that first year, a lot of buildings are a little skeptical. They don't know what this is about. It might mean that they're going to have to spend a little bit more on security on those days. And so they said, no, we're not going to get involved in it this year. But what happened in Denver is, I hope what will happen here in Milwaukee, and that is that after people would see what an enormous success this program is.
Come on down.
They'll be calling us and saying, well, we would like to be in it next year, so we hope that's the case.
That'd be a great choice. That building goes back to 1901, and that was both the headquarters of the Milwaukee Electric Railway and Light, but it was also a train station. So that was the focal point for all the interurbans that went out every direction but east.
Right. Well, very good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm sure
it will be successful, and hopefully next year they'll be open. I think that would be a great addition to the list.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
As would perhaps some electric railways. I don't know if we'll have those, right?
I might mention kind of a little museum gem that...
Oh, yes, museum.
That no one knows about. The building may not be with us much longer either. The Downtown Transit Center, which is a couple blocks away from the lake and just south of Wisconsin Avenue. Inside, there are museum-quality display cases. There's about a dozen of them that tell people all... And with all sorts of artifacts inside, tell people all about... the local citywide transit system. So it's a very historical display. It's a wonderful display that, again, no one's ever seen it.
that was done by the County Historical Society.
Right, and they did a great job on it.
Sure did.
And nobody knows about it.
Nobody knows about it, nope.
Well, people need to go see it. Tell us about some of the other museums, because there are other little museums on the top floors or in certain buildings that I didn't know anything about.
Well, Northwestern Mutual has a private museum that's going to be open for when their building is open, and people will be able to see. A couple of museums that are smaller museums that people don't know about are two newer ones that have opened up in the last few years, the Grohmann Museum, which is part of the MSOE campus, which features artwork having to do with the working place and tremendous collection of paintings, especially of art going back through the 18th century to now, of people doing different kinds of occupations. And if you go to that building, you're also going to get treated to being able to go up to their roof garden and see these large, more than lifelike statues of of people and doing different kinds of physical labor that are scattered on the edges of the building.
And the heroic school.
The heroic school of
worker sculpture.
That's true. That's a good point. Another one is the fairly new Jewish Museum in Milwaukee, which is on the Near East Side and close to downtown, and will be open on Sunday. And that has, it really kind of highlights the entire, and John, you know about this because you've written a book on Jewish history in Milwaukee, but it highlights the history of Jewish folks who have come to Milwaukee over the last, 130 years. So.
Yeah, 5,000 square feet of storytelling, and it's everything from a recreated meat market, exhibits about the Holocaust, athletics, worship, and you kind of come into it through this gorgeous atrium that is highlighted by a Marc Chagall tapestry. So it's a pretty spectacular space, and one that, like many of the treasures on this tour, we could all learn more about and from.
Yeah, we sure could. It's really good this is happening because these are places that, who knew?
Yep.
I mean, who knew? I didn't know that was there.
Mm-hmm.
What about galleries? There's some galleries open, too?
One of them that people might be interested in going to is the David Barnett Gallery, which is a private gallery. I mean, it's open at other times, too, but it's in a very interesting old 1875 mansion, Italianate mansion that was called the Button House after a Dr. Button who built it. And Barnett has a huge collection of art and artifacts that people are welcome to come in and just browse and take a look at and walk throughout the gallery. It's a wonderful house that is housing all this fantastic art that's basically for sale, but nevertheless, it's a wonderful space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot. My favorite place is the pavilion or the atrium in the Calatrava. I love that place. I just love that place. Just go and stand there. I don't forget the art. It's nice, but just stand in that building. And there's an architectural tour of the Calatrava, right?
Yes, there is. There's a couple of things going on there. One of them is the Art Museum, since it's celebrating its 10th anniversary of the building addition, is offering architectural tours on Saturday and Sunday of that particular part of the museum. So it doesn't include the museum's collections of paintings and sculpture, but it does focus on the building itself. And when people go there, they'll be able to see different kinds of models and things that Calatrava had worked on prior to the final decision on what the museum was going to look like. And then on top of that, again, like I mentioned earlier, the program is kind of divided into two. So we've got these 95 buildings that are open. You don't need a ticket for them. Just do it on your own. As opposed to these free but in-depth tours, and one of them is going to be, and these are ticketed, one of them is going to be led by architectural critic Tom Bamberger and architect Jim Shields, who will talk about the Calatrava and how it's worked over the last 10 years and what its relationship has been with the entire Milwaukee Art Museum, and has it been a good marriage?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of looking at it in a critical way, but also in a way that respects it for what it is and tries to get people to think about architecture a little more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Another museum on the tour is the Hagerty on the Marquette campus, which is another undersung treasure.
Yes.
And it's free all the time, but not that many people know about it. And they've got both a great permanent collection and changing exhibitions.
Right.
And right across the courtyard, basically, is the brand new law school.
And that's on the list.
That's on the list.
I've not been inside there. I'm going to stop there as well.
Good. All right. Barbara in Milwaukee. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I want to say that I think the MGIC building is just a wonderful, wonderful building. I was in there in the 70s to look at the art, and it was very influential for me. And I've been lucky enough to work on the art recently, and it's just meant to be such a wonderful, comforting, inspiring, humane building.
What do you mean you worked on the art, Barbara?
I restore the fiber pieces.
Oh, my.
And there's several large mural tapestries, fiber tapestries, by Sheila Hicks. And they were 20 feet by 8 feet. And fibers are very hard to keep up in a public area.
Yeah, that building's been described as an upside-down wedding cake.
Yes,
so,
that one.
Very unusual, the main building there. But it's a great addition to what they call the East Side A redevelopment project, where a lot of 19th century buildings were torn down to make way for that whole strip there along Kilbourne Avenue. And MGIC Plaza was one of the nice additions to that landscape.
Yes, the wonderful part about it being an upside-down wedding cake is that it gives that great public plaza, and then it's right next to the skating rink. And the views from the windows are just awesome. And the materials that were used and the designs on the inside, one of the pieces that is not maybe considered art, but Warren Plattner, the interior designer, had sculpted a piece of granite that must be about 10 by, 20 feet in Connecticut. And he used either heat or, I don't think it was explosives, and he sculpted it and sent it to Milwaukee to be in the building.
Hmm.
So we'll get a chance to look at it.
Yes, and then outside, of course, people get to see this huge bronze sculpture by Alicia Penalba from Venezuela. So much of the art is by women, and in the 60s, this was not common.
Thank you, Barbara, very much for the call.
I'm glad you mentioned the MGIC, because I think that is going to be a very nice venue. It's right across from City Hall. And one of the other things I appreciate about MGIC being open for this event is that they're offering free parking.
Oh,
we
great.
We will have six different free parking areas throughout the downtown area that people can park in. If you can't find a space in those lots, you can always park on the streets for free in Milwaukee on the weekends. There's no charge. On Saturday, you have to obey the hours. If it's a two-hour zone that usually takes metered money, you still have to abide by the hours, but it's free. And on Sunday, all parking on the streets is totally free. If you go to our website or the event guide, the printed event guide that you can get from this week's Shepherd Express, or when you come to any of our buildings, we'll have our event guides there too. You'll be able to see where parking is available.
Yeah, one of the great things about Doors Open, I think, is that for a lot of people, as Milwaukee, the region has grown, people are no longer necessarily so tied to the downtown area. And there are people who live out in, say, Waukesha or Washington counties who might not come downtown at all. And I think this is a great chance to get reacquainted or acquainted for the first time with what is the heart of Milwaukee.
Exactly. I think that ice skating rink was a good idea. I remember being very excited when they built that ice skating rink, but I never learned how to stop on skates, so I had to stop skating. Plus, I'm getting old. But it was really a neat thing. Your lunch hour and go skate.
It's a cool skating rink. The one I miss is the one at Cathedral Square during the lamented Winterfest.
Oh,
remember
yes,
that
yes, I do.
Not that long ago, and that was you almost felt there was almost a New York feel to it, kind of surrounded by these grand buildings.
Right.
Yeah, the wonderful trees around it, too.
Yep. Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's nice. All right, thanks, Barbara, very much for the call. An email from Michael. Fun show. I have a suggestion for a building for future doors. You got this going for years to come, George.
A
for
franchise.
Future doors open in Milwaukee. The Alan Bradley building. I've always wanted to see the Polish moon from the inside out.
Yeah, a lot of people have mentioned that, and I think that as we hopefully expand in future years, that'll definitely be towards the top of the agenda.
Okay.
It's got a great view.
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about Doors Open Milwaukee this Saturday and Sunday in Milwaukee, and it's a lot of buildings that are going to be open to the public. Some have guided tours, some have snacks. It's all taking place because George Wagner made it happen. He's program manager of Doors Open Milwaukee. Many of you probably know him. He was a librarian at Central Library for a number of years, recently retired, and approached Historic Milwaukee about getting this going because it had happened in Toronto and in Denver. And indeed, here it is, first time this Saturday and Sunday. John Gerda is here to give us historical background. He is our Milwaukee historian, born here and has written many wonderful books, and most ambitious probably, The Making of Milwaukee, which was also a documentary series based on his book. Here's the phone number. If you have buildings you have questions about or buildings that you wonder if they're on the tour or if they should be on the tour, here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, or the email is talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go back to phone calls. James in Greenfield is next. Hi, James.
Hi.
Oh, Kathleen. Hi, James. Hi, James.
This is James in Greenfield. I called in because I'm interested, very interested in the Cudahy Tower, the Prospect Building, and the Mason Building. I was a student at Marquette in 1956, 7, 8, and 9, and I worked at the Cudahy Tower at the desk and did a little work in the other two buildings, the Prospect Building and the Mason Building, and I'd really like to get down there and do the tour.
Well, you'll be able to if you do it on Saturday, because that's the day it's going to be open. Now, many of our buildings are open both days.
Is that one open? Can I walk in, or do I have to get a ticket?
There's no tickets that are necessary, but there's going to be tours on the hour. So for starting at 11 o'clock, the last one's at 4 for the Cudahy Tower. And again, it's only going to be on Saturday. I was going to say that many of our buildings are open both days the entire time from 11 to 5. However, some buildings are only open one day. Other buildings are open both days but have more limited hours. So you really have to go to our event guide, either online at doorsopenmilwaukee.org, or pick one up in this week's Shepherd Express, or at any of our event venues.
That's a great old building.
I'm looking at one right here. Let's see here. I can see number 39 on Well Street and Prospect. Am I going to get more information if I read the whole guide?
Yes, you would. And you'd get more, especially if you went online. There's even more online.
I didn't see that. Okay, I'll study that. I'm going to be going down there and looking with intense interest. Of course, I'm not going to see the people I worked with. But
time travel.
That was such an interesting place to work. And I'd sure like to be able to go back and get inside that building.
James,
a little bit.
You need to be the tour guide next year. You got personality, sir. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's actually two buildings. The first one was back in 07, and that was the Buena Vista Flats, the Goodview Flats. And then that was added onto by the tower up on the north side of it. And that was high-end apartments. Lyon Bradley and his wife lived on the top floor there, and then recent years that was turned to condos. So
I know that Walter Typo, who was one of the malting companies, Kurth, I think, lived up there. And Dr. Herner, I better not talk about that. Dr. Herner ran that place over on 27th Street to where people went in to get dried out and that kind of thing.
Oh, Sacred Heart Sanitarium.
Oh, my, John. Good for you. You knew it.
That's why I guess I shouldn't talk too much about that, because some of those people are, well, they're not alive anymore. When I lived there, Faye Macbeth was there, and she had a companion. What a nice lady she was. You know, she was the niece of the founder of the Milwaukee Journal.
Thank you, James, very much. I do think you ought to lead tours. He'll add great history to the tour next year. Exactly. Is it still high-end? Is Cunningham Towers
sure.
real high-end?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I should mention that Julie Cuddy is actually going to be leading the tours.
Oh, really?
There.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good, good.
Yeah, she's the manager of the building.
So. Oh, great. All right. How the other half lives, huh? Joseph in La Crosse. Hi, Joseph.
Good morning. What a wonderful show today. Just a quick comment, and I'm interested in your guest reaction. This is a situation that only appears when someone like you is motivated to do this. It doesn't happen all by itself. It takes somebody with initiative and the kind of interest that a librarian typically has.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my daughter has just decided to go to school to get her MLS and become a librarian.
All right.
But my fear is, and I'm curious what you think about this, that we're moving away from that kind of world, literally. I mean, there are libraries now around the country, just over the border in Minnesota, where you email your book request, and a couple days later you go to this airport locker style wall and you get a PIN number electronically and you open it up and you take your book out. Hardly conducive to people wandering around the halls of a library or spending time in there. And I think we're losing that as a society. And I think events like this are hugely important, but who's going to put them forward in the future?
George?
Well, thanks for that. One of the things that attracted me to this kind of event is not just that it can happen here in Milwaukee. In Toronto, which had their first Doors Open Toronto in 2000, it was very successful. And within 2 years, the province of Ontario decided to try to replicate the event in other Ontario towns and cities. And so today in Ontario, there's 50 communities that hold their own Doors Open events, and they are scattered throughout the nice months of the year. And I'm hoping that the same thing can happen here in Wisconsin. So it won't just be Milwaukee, but it'll be Racine, and it'll be La Crosse and Green Bay and Wausau and Madison and smaller communities along the way as well who will take up this idea of opening their wonderful sites to their own people and to visitors.
Thank you very much for the call, and he's absolutely right. It takes a great mind, and it does take your background, George. You've lived for a purpose, you see.
This is it. You hadn't known by now.
Thank you, Joseph. John in Pewaukee. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. I worked for 35 years at Northwestern Mutual, the column building across from U.S. Bank, and I certainly hope people will go in and see the lobby there. It's just spectacular.
Sure is. That building goes back to 1914, and it's actually, I think, the fourth or fifth of Northwestern's home offices, all on the east side of the Milwaukee River.
And
one of the more spectacular ones that's it's not up for the tour. I think they're trying to turn it to a hotel, the Loyalty Building on Broadway, just north of Michigan. So they've had a distinguished architectural heritage.
Yep, it's fantastic. Don't miss it. Thanks.
Great, thanks. What's so spectacular about it? I don't think I've ever been in there.
It's right across from the Grain Exchange, and it's this wonderful, this pile of limestone, very ornately carved.
Uh-huh.
And there's you go into the lobby, and this sort of polished bronze railings, tile floors, and it goes up to the skylight. It's a spectacular space.
Ooh.
That has been office space until recently. Engberg Andersen was in there, and I think, you know, George, the current plans are to...
Well, they're turning it into a boutique hotel. We did try mightily to get that building on board, and we found out about 3 weeks ago that they had just put plywood on the doors because they're getting ready to renovate the inside.
Be a great hotel.
Yeah.
Got to save some of your powder for next year.
That's right. That'll be a nice one for next year.
Yeah. Rod in Mukwonago, how about the oldest firehouses?
Boy.
One of the oldest firehouses, the building isn't that old. It was actually built. It's more of an Art Deco building. I think it went up in the 1930s on Broadway downtown. That is going to be open, as well as the headquarters on 7th and Wells. However, that's a newer building from the 1960s. The 1930s firehouse on Broadway, however, is actually the oldest engine and truck company in Milwaukee. It dates back to around 1840. And I think in the future, when we expand the program to other areas of the city, we will be interested in having some of those older firehouses on the tour.
Okay. All right. Again, people get pick up the Shepherd Express, which is a lengthy list of the event guides, or you can go online, George, to
DoorsOpenMilwaukee.org.
DoorsOpenMilwaukee.org. Okay.
And we'll have event guides at all the different buildings that people can start their tour anywhere they want. Just come downtown and look around for a building that has a sign, a big banner hanging from it if you haven't had a chance to get an event guide yet.
And then you can go to the film festival, too, which is a big deal.
Absolutely.
For the next week and a half. So
no reason to not
be
here.
Right. And the Dennis Sullivan. You can go on a boat for you can walk on the Dennis Sullivan.
It won't leave shore for you, but at least you'll be able to climb on board, yes.
Well, more power to you. This was a great idea, George. And,
thank you.
And you should be given all due credit for following through on this massive project.
No, I agree.
Yeah, very, very, very nice of you. And a lot of hard work and vision. George Wagner, Program Manager of Doors Open Milwaukee, longtime Milwaukee librarian, Central Library, which is on the list here, and it's a beautiful place. And John Gerda, always a great pleasure to see John, Milwaukee historian, author of all kinds of books, including The Making of Milwaukee, tour guide where Sunday?
Yankee Hill.
Yankee
Saturday.
Hill.
Saturday morning.
Saturday for John. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for producing the hour, and thanks to Chrissy for doing production on this program. I'll be with you again on Monday. The Brewers need to win a game because we're scheduled with, I can only do this because I've been doing this for a lot of years, my husband and my son, the biggest baseball people I know, will be with us on Monday at 10, but we can't have a show if the Brewers don't win. What are we going to do?
They'll win.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you. Until then, have a great weekend.